Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 13 this morning. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 19, I was reading somewhere, you know, there's a lot of different schools of how you're supposed to preach and different methods of how you preach in this way. And one of them I read recently is you're never supposed to start off, like probably most of us folks that are a little bit older have heard most of our life, start off by reading a text. Well, I guess I'm going to throw that theory out the window today, because I'm going to start off by reading this particular verse of Scripture in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. And it says, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, if you recall, there's a somewhat similar parable in another chapter, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But this is called the parable of the pounds, as it's recorded in the King James Version, or even in the earlier Geneva Bible. And there it's called the parable of the 10 pieces of money. And I wanted to read that particular verse 13 to you again from the Complete Jewish Bible, because it kind of makes things stand out a little bit more here, I believe. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 maneum, I believe is how it's pronounced there, I might have that wrong, which is about 3 months' wages, and said to them, do business with this while I'm away. Do business with this while I'm away. In other words, just don't sit around, but get out and do some business here. As I said, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 31, record a similar parable in the parable of the talents. But we want to deal today primarily with Luke chapter 19, verse 13 here. These particular words, occupy till I come, or as it says in some of the other translations, do business with this while I'm away. I want to back up just a little bit, though, to verse 11, because it says here that they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Remember, these disciples, they, in the beginning, thought that possibly, in fact, that was their great hope, I believe, was that Jesus was going to come in. He was going to take charge of things, and he was going to restore them as a people and as a nation and establish the kingdom. And you know what? There are people that are preaching similar messages today. If we get out and we do this and we do that, we are going to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, and then Jesus can come back. I don't know how many of you heard that message before, but I've heard for years people preaching, we've got to get out and we've got to establish the kingdom. He never said that we would establish the kingdom, but he did tell us to occupy and to persevere and to carry on and to do business until he returns and establishes the kingdom. As he goes on here, people, in other translations it read, the people supposed the kingdom of God was about to appear at any moment. And we still have people predicting that certain things are going to take place on certain particular dates. Remember a few years ago, a well-known broadcaster and owner of a group of radio stations predicted that the end of the world was going to take place on such and such date. He'd done that once before and it didn't happen. And he went back and said, I misunderstood. It's this date. And then that date came and went. And it didn't happen. And then it's a different date. And that date came and went. It didn't happen. Just a few weeks ago, somebody did the same thing. It's going to happen on this particular date. The date came and went. But what happened during the time as these dates were being predicted? Some people quit their jobs. Well, I want to see this place or that place before the end of the world takes place. Quit their jobs and withdrew all their money out of the bank. They did this, that, or the other in preparation because on this particular date, it's all going to be over with. Can you imagine the disappointment that they must have felt when that date came and nothing happened and they woke up the next day, maybe broke, and it hadn't happened? What were they going to do now? Many of them left penniless because of this. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is telling the disciples that they must not depart from Jerusalem, but they are to wait there for the promise of the Father. Then in verse 9, as Jesus finishes speaking, it says, He is carried up into the heavens. He ascends into the heavens in a cloud. And can you imagine, you're standing here talking to Jesus, and you're listening to what He has to say, and all of a sudden, He just begins to rise up in front of you and go on up and up and up. And what do you think you would do? You'd probably do what those that were gathered there did. You just watch. Probably not even thinking about saying anything. What's going on here, you're thinking, as He's ascending into the heavens. And you're looking up after Him and you watch. And then He's out of sight. And maybe you're still standing there, wondering what in the world has happened here. And then it says the two men in white appeared to them in verse 11. And it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. He went up this way in a cloud, and the Scripture tells us He's coming back again in a cloud. The angels confirmed it there. He shall come back in like manner. He's not going to show up driving a Rolls Royce somewhere. And there have been some people that claim to be Jesus that they showed up driving a Rolls Royce somewhere or some other expensive car, living in some mansion. I'm Jesus, I've come back to take care of things. Send me your money. I got news. When Jesus comes back, He's not going to need to have any money. He's in charge. Whole thing's going to be different. The complete Jewish Bible reads, why are you standing staring into space? And I think sometimes in the church world, we go around still kind of like that. We're kind of still standing, staring into space. What do I do now? And maybe the disciples thought that too. Maybe they're thinking, what did I do now? But Jesus had given them instructions just a few moments earlier. You wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. There is something you've got to do. Don't just stand here staring into space. And yet sometimes we get caught and that staring into space, attitude. Kind of, well, what do I do next? I don't really know what God wants me to do right now, but so I'm just going to stand here and stare into space. But he had said, occupy till I come. Take care of business until I come. Get out and do what you know to do until he comes. There are a number of preachers, and you probably hear some every week, including myself, who preach various messages about the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that you've heard me tell you before that when God called me into the ministry that night as I was kneeling at a folding chair in a little storefront church, when God spoke to my heart and told me that he wanted me to be a last days preacher. And for years I thought that was a prophecy teacher. You know, I was going to grow up and I was going to teach prophecy, and that never happened. But then I began to realize several years ago that what God was telling me is I was going to be a preacher in the last days. And I've been trying to tell people that Jesus is coming soon. I don't want to set a date because the Bible tells us we're not to set dates. I do know the times and the seasons, and I see his coming approaching, but I don't know exactly when. But I'm not going to stand here staring into space and doing nothing because that I know he's coming back, so I'll just stand here and do nothing. But I'm trying to do what the Bible says, and each one of us as Christians should be trying to do what the Bible says, and that is get out and occupy or do business until he comes. Keep on with the work of God. Keep on with the preaching of the gospel. Keep on with the winning of souls to Jesus Christ. I believe that it's my duty, and I believe it's your duty as Christians to tell people about Jesus Christ. And yes, people know that we are living in a time when there is going to be some type of change that is taking place. Even the secular world will tell you something is about to happen. And they have different ideas based on some of their secular thinking and secular beliefs as to what it could be. But there are a number of secular people out there that believe some kind of an apocalyptic event is about to take place. The Islamic world, in fact, the very radical fashion of it, is trying to create an apocalyptic event. That's their goal. Let's make it come to this. Back when Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives in chapter 24, verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus, and it says that as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And you can go on and read what he has to say there. And I know in the King James it says the end of the world should be more correctly translated the end of the age. And if you look back, and if you check back in history, even secular history tell you that there have been various ages, various time frames. We are living right now in the Christian world in the age of grace. But that age is about to come to an end, and we're going to come to a time when we are going to enter into the kingdom of God, where we are actually physically living in the kingdom of God. We're part of God's kingdom right now. Anybody here a dual citizen? And what a dual citizen is? A dual citizen is a citizen of more than one country. But if you're a born-again child of God, it doesn't matter which country you're a citizen of here on earth, you are also a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So every one of you that's a Christian, that's born again, is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. As Americans, we go to events, although this is slowly being phased out, it seems like. You go to events and they would have the national anthem played, and they might have the Pledge of Allegiance spoken. But now we're afraid if we give a Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America that it's going to offend somebody. Well, we also need to know as Christians that we give a Pledge of Allegiance to the kingdom of heaven. That is the kingdom that we're a part of. We are just, in one place as it says, foreigners here. One of these days, though, we're going to enter in to the kingdom that's been prepared for us, the kingdom that we are a citizen of, the kingdom that we will be a citizen of for all eternity, the kingdom of heaven. So as we hear some of these events spoken of, I remember several years ago, somebody predicted that Jesus was going to come on a certain date. People sold everything they had. They went to a particular mountaintop, those that were followers of this guy. Sold their possessions, went to this mountaintop, wrapped themselves in white sheets, and stood there and waited for Jesus to come back. Well, if they'd have read the Bible, they'd known they were on the wrong mountaintop to start with. And there's nothing said that you had to put on a white sheet, because he's going to give you a white robe that's better than anything that's ever been made on this planet. But he is coming. And the Bible tells us when he comes, the dead in Christ are going to rise to meet him in the air. And those who are alive and remain, it says, will be caught up in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be a quick event that's going to take place. You're not going to have time to run in and change clothes, brush your teeth, comb your hair, or any of that stuff. It's going to happen. The thing is, we need to be ready. But do we stand around staring into space, as the Scripture says, while we're waiting? No, he has said, occupy, do my work, do my business until he comes. We need to be ready as if he's coming in the next few minutes. But we also need to go about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and trying to win people to the kingdom of heaven as much as we can and as hard as we can, as long as we can. Somewhere, I believe this with all my heart, that somewhere there's going to be people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and giving it their all to win souls to the kingdom when that event takes place. And maybe right in the middle of their message, it will take place. But we need to be doing the Father's business. We need to be occupying, taking care of business, getting things done for the kingdom of heaven until that event takes place. I probably have mentioned this sometime over the past, and I don't know if I mentioned it here or not, but I remember my first year of Bible college. You know, as a freshman in Bible college, you look up to the wiser seniors. You know, they've been here for 4 years at least. Yeah, they should know a lot. And some of them thought they knew it all. And we had an area that we went to that we could study in the morning before class. And there's several of us freshmen, little lowly freshmen, seated around a table, and we're doing some studying. One of the know-it-all seniors walked in, looked at us in our Bibles. Well, you won't need that when you graduate from here, because you'll know it all. I've been studying for 50 plus years. And I got to tell you, I'm a long ways from knowing it all. Some of us may know more than others. But in this life, on this planet, we are never, ever going to know it all. But we still need to be about the Father's business. We still need to be occupying. We need to be taking care of getting things done. Is it always easy to get things done? No, not always easy. And sometimes can get difficult to get things done. You know, as Jesus ascended into the heavens, as he ascended into the heavens and the disciples or the two angels told them, stop staring into space and take care of business here. Go do what he told you to do. But I want to go back to the message here in Luke 19 about a certain nobleman went to the far country to receive a kingdom and to return. And I wanted to put this to you here this morning. Does this sound somewhat like what Jesus did? He was that nobleman. He ascended into a far place to receive his kingdom. And he's coming back, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is talking about something that's going to happen. As he goes on, he tells about these servants that I'm going to give you some money to do business while I'm gone. You go on and you read the story. He gave each one a certain amount. And similar to the parable of the talents, each one went out and did certain things, but one of them went and buried the money somewhere and didn't do anything with it. And if you read the scripture there, he looks at it, well, why didn't you at least, basically putting it in today's English and way of doing things, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and earn some interest on it? You would have at least done something, but you did nothing. And I believe God gives all of us certain gifts to use for the kingdom while our king is away. Remember, right now, as American citizens, we have a president. But as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we have a king. Amen. And our king's away right at the moment. Jesus said at the ripe old age of 12, in Luke 2:49, he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And as Jesus was going about his Father's business, we are too to go about the business of our King. We're going about spreading the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know some say, well, I can't do some of these things. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I can't do this or I can't do that. As we talked in Bible study, I believe it was this past Wednesday night, we now live in an age when the gospel of Jesus Christ can be heard anywhere on planet Earth at any given moment. Got a radio, you can get the message. Just a little piece of technology and you can get the message. I was telling Larry, and I didn't quite put it maybe this way, but I was telling him, basically, if you were in a spaceship circling the planet Mars, you could still hear the gospel of Jesus Christ today because those radio waves go into space. And they keep on going. The gospel is out there. It's being preached. And so there are those that are called to preach the gospel in that method and get the message out there. But you know what? It takes somebody else down there too, working with those folks and helping those folks and winning them to Jesus. Maybe they get the message and maybe they get saved by that message that they heard, but there needs to be somebody else there to give them guidance. And I know you might say, well, what about some areas where there is no other Christians? You know, the Holy Spirit takes care of that. And I've heard numerous stories of how the Holy Spirit took care of it. But they went on then to begin to witness and lead other people in their area to Jesus Christ. They begin to do the work of the Father. They begin to do the Father's business. And we do the Father's business, each of us in different ways. There are no two of us alike. And I'm thankful that there are no two of us alike, because it would get awful boring if we were all just alike. But we are all different, and we are all called to do things differently for the kingdom of God. So some are about the Father's business by preaching. And so many people seem to think that is the big thing when it comes to the gospel. Not necessarily so. Because you see, there are others that are called to be about the Father's business by praying. You've heard, and for some reason this seems to be associated more with women than men, about these little old lady prayer warriors that pray and pray and pray. And if you want an answer from God, you get them to pray for you, you know. Because they can reach God. They can touch God. So some people are called to pray. Not necessarily a glamorous thing as far as the world is concerned, because 90-some percent of the time, nobody even knows that you're doing it. Some are called to be witnesses. And I'm not talking about preaching as a witness, but I'm talking about just witnessing individually, one-on-one. Not everybody's good at that. Some people God blessed with personalities and a ministry of witnessing 101 that is second to none. They can win people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe they don't have large amount of conversions over their lifetime. But who knows that one person somewhere along the line that they witnessed to went on to become that person who reached thousands then with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all know who Billy Graham is. Reached millions with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet there was that one, and if I understand, it was his Sunday school teacher, one little old Sunday school teacher that reached Billy Graham. Most people don't even know her name. Most people don't even know that she existed. But she did that. That was what her job was to do. Some people are to be financing the gospel. You look around here, and I don't see any millionaires sitting in this congregation this morning. Unless there's something you've really been hiding good from me. But there's those that God speaks to them to finance the gospel. And that's happened. I've known of people that have done that. Who God speaks to their heart and they pour tons of money into the financing of getting the gospel out. There are some that maybe their way of occupying may just be cleaning up. Sometimes your witness, your job in the kingdom may be for a season, may be scrubbing the toilets, but you know what? It's an important job because people judge when they come to church by what they see physically as well. Is the place clean? Is it cruddy looking? When we first moved to Tennessee in the first building we were in, I hated to go to the bathroom at that facility. We were just renting a space, and we were having to use the public restrooms that were there, and they were horrible. And I knew that when people came and if they had to go to the restroom, they were going to get a bad impression. And quite frankly, there wasn't much we could do about it. I think we tried to clean them a few times, but it didn't work that well. But sometimes it's something simple as that because you make an impression. I was at a meeting just a couple of days ago. An older man came in as the meeting was over and I was standing talking to someone else. And I come along. His job, because it was at a church, his job there was facilities, taking care of things, cleaning up, doing repairs if he had to, maybe even doing other things. In their particular case, they had a much larger facility than what we have here, but and I guess he had a full-time job basically doing it. But that was his ministry. That was the job he was to do, to occupy. Till he comes. There are a number of jobs that we can do for the kingdom of God. A number of things that we can do. I never read anywhere in the scripture that he said, when you get saved, now go home, sit on your couch, and wait for me to come. He gave us at least two examples in those two parables that we should occupy, that we are to be about the Master's business. We are to be doing for God what he speaks to our hearts to do for him. Well, I'm waiting for God to come down on me in a miraculous cloud of glory and fill me with all this insight. Most likely ain't going to happen that way. But if you get out and start doing the Master's business and you do what you can find to do, and sometimes you may have to look for something to do. But he'll find you a place to do it at if you look for it. Because there's always plenty to be done in the kingdom of God. There's plenty of the Master's business to be taking place. And maybe through that, then you find the position that God wants you in. But we need to be about the Master's business. Colossians 3:23, and I read it from the Complete Jewish Bible. Whatever work you do, put yourself into it. If it's scrubbing the toilets, put yourself into it. I don't mean physically get into it, but do it with the best you can. Do whatever you do, do it the best you can. For those who are serving not merely other people, but the Lord. You're serving not merely people, but you're serving the Lord. My wife has told people, and this has been her motto throughout her working career, was whatever she did it as unto the Lord. I'm doing this job as I'm doing it unto God. And maybe sometimes you don't necessarily like what you've got to do as far as the thing that you're doing. And maybe you're not particularly thrilled about your job, but you do it the best you can with the gifts that God has given you, and you go forth. Because I'll tell you one thing, if you put yourself into it, you will make an impression on people. I was at an event a couple of weeks ago, helping work an event. And I really would like to have seen some of the things that they had at this event. It was Night Out Against Crime. And they had this great big 18-wheeler that belonged to the Tennessee Highway Patrol. And I would have really liked to look at that truck. I would have really liked to have gone over to Vanderbilt's Life Flight helicopter and looked in it. But I had a job to do. And that job was just to simply help people fill out a form before they could do this one particular event, because we had to have a release form. So for the entire time of the event, I stood there and had people fill out release forms. I looked around from what I could see, but I stood there. And at the end of the event, the officer I was working with went over and told one of the officials in charge of the event, he was here the whole time. Stood with it. It made, I think, an impression on him. And sometimes it may not necessarily be doing something that you think is advancing the kingdom of God. But when people begin to realize that you will do what you set out to do, you will stand with it. You'll stick with it. You'll make an impression on them. And maybe through that, somehow it helps them to then reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you just start things and throw them to the side and you never get your job done right, what are they going to think you've been sloppily done? And what are they going to think of you as a Christian? They'll probably think you're a sloppy Christian. Simple as that. Be about the Father's business. Occupy. Get down to business until He comes. And maybe there are those that are listening to me by the internet or by CD today, and that God is speaking to your heart. Maybe He's speaking to you about becoming a Christian, and it's so simple, just simply invite Jesus into your heart and say, Jesus, I give my life to You. I accept what You did for me. I give my life to You. Come into my heart. And maybe there are others that you don't know what to do and you've been wondering what to do. And I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart and help you to realize, number one, what He wants you to do. But I also want you to realize that you need to go about doing whatever opportunities avail themselves to help advance the kingdom of God. Father, today as we pray for those that are listening over the internet and by CD, Father, for various needs, Father, for those, first of all, that may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart, Father, help them to open up their life and their heart to You and invite Jesus Christ into their life and accept Him as their Lord and Savior, as their King. And others that are trying to make decisions and what they need to do in the kingdom of God, that You would speak to their hearts, that You would help them, that You would encourage them. And Father, help them to get up and do whatever is put before them to do. I give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.